This week we find ourselves in the third of a four-part preaching series called Revive. Together we're considering ways that we can move towards renewing and deepening our faith in these early days and weeks of the school year. Now remember, last week we talked about the first two letters in the word revive. Risk, that is, having a willingness to step out to the deep, to places we might have never gone before, and to expect that God will take what we have to offer and will work with it. Today we're going to talk about what it means to the V for value. Value our own personal giftedness as well as the gifts of others through affirmation and appreciation, and to invest whatever it is with which God has blessed us into the missionary work of the church. The last week will be on the V and the E, to give voice to the gospel and to engage our culture. Now, again this week, Jesus teaches us using a parable, using a vineyard as the backdrop. And again, he presents us with two contrasting figures, the two sons of the owner of that vineyard. Now remember, he's not just talking about any two people. These were his two sons. To be the two sons meant that they were also the heirs. They had a stake in the success of that vineyard. A fruitful harvest meant economic gain and prosperity. A meager harvest of those grapes, well, not so much. The one son is anything but enthusiastic about heading out to the vineyard. "Dad, I've got better things to do with my time." And he walks off. But given some time to think about it, he has his regrets. Maybe he realizes how important it is for him and his future that that vineyard succeed. And sure enough, he shows up for work. The other son, he was enthusiastic enough. "Sure, Dad, I'm right on it." We've had these experiences, haven't we? Who knows what happened after that? Maybe he's heading out to the vineyard and he sees a group of his friends hanging out on the corner and he says, "You don't want to go to work, just hang out with us." Or, you know, maybe that girl who lived over the next hill caught his eye and he got a little bit distracted. Doesn't matter. He never showed up at the vineyard. The point is that their response hinged on two things. First, they had to recognize the value of the gift that they had been given. In this case, they had a vineyard that would be their livelihood. They would eventually inherit that vineyard. And secondly, they had to be ready to make an effort to invest in its success. Of course, the big question we ask is, so what? What's that mean to us? Friends, I'd put to you today that this parable is chock full of meaning for you and me today. First, let's talk about the gift. I see this as being a giftedness on two levels. The one very personal, the other a bit broader. Personally, you need to know, God has given you a gift that is uniquely yours. And that is everything that you have, everything that there is about you. Your time here on earth, your material resources, all those things that you value the most are God's gift to you. Your very life here and the promise of eternal life. You have been gifted with a calling. In baptism, the day that that water was poured, you were imbued, in some sense imprinted, tattooed, you might say, with a permanent mark as one who belongs to Christ. And you can rightly call yourself a Christian, a son, a daughter of God. Baptism gifts you with a unique sacramental grace that you carry with you every moment of your life. You carry the very life of God in you. The Holy Trinity dwells within you. Think about that for just a minute. Doesn't it blow your mind? that you carry God with you from the moment of your baptism, even when you probably had little idea what was going on. Can we even begin to comprehend what it means to be that close to the divine? The one who created us. The one who suffered, died, and rose for us. The one who has an everlasting, sustaining, sanctifying presence within us. That's the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Can you, do you see the value in that and the value that you possess as a child of God? After all, God cared enough to bring you into this world and to call you. But we need to remember that none of us lives in isolation. You are part of something bigger. A so-called vineyard that we call the kingdom of God, that we live out in this body that we call the church. And this vineyard has a purpose, like the one in the parable, to yield a huge harvest, not of grapes, but of the people of God. God's intention, God's will for all of us, for all people, is to come to know that calling to be a child of God, so that we can and know that we are called to be heirs to His kingdom. That is the missionary mandate of the church. That's why we exist in the first place, not just for ourselves. What did Jesus say? Go make disciples, He told them. And here we are 2,000 years later as a result. But do we think it stopped with the apostles? Certainly not. The mission of the church has always been to evangelize, to reach out to our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To do that, we all need to have some skin in the game, to invest our very lives, our hearts, our beings, each very unique gift that we have of ourselves into this venture. Let's face it, it is much easier to be a cultural Catholic or a couch potato Christian, isn't it? That's the story of the son who said, "Sure, Dad, I'm right on it," and never showed up to the vineyard to work. He got caught up in his distractions. And you and I know well that life is full of distractions. Some of them are important things. Our work, family obligations, sports. Sometimes lesser, ringing phones, the important text that just came up and needs our attention. But sometimes distractions can take us down a darker path too. Those distractions can become compulsions, even addictions, disordered relationships, poor self-images, addictions to sex, drugs, pornography, gambling, just about anything. And sometimes it can just simply be spiritual laziness. Now, sometimes it's difficult to appreciate the gift of the church. You and I know we live in an age, and when we look at history, this is not anything new. It didn't just come upon us. When many people are overwhelmed when they learn of the flaws of the church. The difference is today that's different from, you know, even, you know, years ago when we were growing up, is that communication has advanced quite a bit, hasn't it? Our flaws, our mistakes, our foibles are almost instantaneously exposed for the world to see. And to deny that helps no one, does nothing to advance the gospel. Very recently, Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York was giving a talk to a group of priests down in Louisiana. And he observed that human weakness has always been a part of the church from the beginning. If you doubt it, look in the scriptures and just see the time that Jesus had in corralling his apostles. The cardinal says, a favorite caricature of the church today is that of a corrupt, arrogant, self-righteous, judgmental hypocrite. It can be tough to love the church because of her imperfections. The mystical body of Christ is covered with warts sometimes, isn't it? But see, the temptation for many has been to separate Christ from His church, from His people. But if you go to the Acts of the Apostles and read the story of St. Paul's conversion, you can see that they are inseparable. When St. Paul, also known as Saul at that time, fell off of his horse, was blinded, and has this encounter with the risen Lord. Remember, he was a persecutor, responsible for the first Christian martyr. What was the voice saying to him when he saw Christ? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He didn't say, why do you persecute my disciples, my followers, my church? He said, me. Christ and His church are one. Remember, that happened at your baptism. You became one with Christ because you became one with His church. You might remember a few years ago on YouTube, there was a video that received over 27 million views. It was put up by a rather prominent evangelical named Jefferson Bethke. It was called Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus. Cardinal Dolan says, such is the popular and the somewhat successful crusade now to annul the spousal bond between Christ and His bride, the church. We hear this all the time, right? I prefer spirituality to religion. I want the Lord as my shepherd as long as I'm the only member of the flock. I want Christ as my king in a kingdom of one. I'll believe, but I won't belong. God is my Father. I'm an only child. Jesus is my general, but there is no army. Some want Christ without His church. We live in a world that often considers belief in God as a private hobby at best, a dangerous ideology at worst. The church is sometimes considered superstitious, irrational, backwards, useless, counterproductive, out of sync with the times. So what's our response? It's rather simple. In some sense, it's essentially we need to double down and get back to the basics of our call in the gospel. Sometimes you might be asked the question, when did you become a Christian? And the good Catholic answer is, at baptism. Absolutely 100% correct. On the day of your baptism, Christ chose you. Well, my brothers and sisters, I think the question that you and I also have to be ready to answer is, did you choose Christ? Have you chosen Christ? Have you responded to that call? You see, once you come to value the gift of who you are and everything that makes you the person that you are, and come to value also whose you are, that is that you are a disciple of Christ, personally chosen by Him, then you need to invest that giftedness in the missionary activity of the church. Sometimes we Catholics can be afraid of the word evangelization. We mistake it for proselytizing, stealing sheep from other churches. It's not. It's simply the intentional sharing the story of our faith in Jesus Christ with others, particularly those who haven't embraced it yet, maintaining not a confrontational stance, but an invitational one. Came across the quote this week, and it makes a lot of sense. Religious people have preferences. missionaries have stories. This week I heard the story from a good friend about a member of his parish. There was this lady, she was what would be described as your model parishioner. Any pastor would want this woman to be part of their parish. She would volunteer for anything, show up for everything. She was an engaged volunteer in the church. Their parish offered Alpha. She signed up because, after all, she went and did practically everything in that parish. And she had a transformational experience. She came to not just know that Christ chose her, she chose Christ. And it really set her heart ablaze. Well, after she had gone through Alpha, she actually became a member of the team. And she tells the story about one day she was on her way to go down to have her car serviced at the mechanics. Now, her typical way of dealing with that was to pay by credit card. And she said for no particular reason, she felt this need to stop at the ATM, put in her card, and get out some cash. She gets out $60, drives down to the mechanic. When she gets in there, she's waiting to go up to, you know, be taken care of, and there's a woman in front of her there paying her bill. And some of us may have had this experience. You slide the card or you put the card in for the chip, and it says denied, denied, denied. And the poor woman was frantic because she kept swiping it and swiping it, and it just kept rejecting it again and again. Well, she sees what's going on, and she says to the person at the register, "How much is the bill?" $60. How much cash had she taken out of the ATM? $60. She paid the bill for the woman. The woman looked at her and said, "Why are you doing this?" And she says, "I'm not. God is." And the woman walked over and she's taking care of her things. And she comes back up to her and they're sitting down. And she says, "You know, as I was standing there swiping my card over and over again, I just kept saying, 'God, help me.' And then you walked in." Well, what do you think happened next? That woman ended up at Alpha. My friends, there are no coincidences. If we open ourselves up and go beyond being religious people and our preferences and be missionaries, we're going to have some stories. As we mentioned last week, sometimes it just starts with stepping up and taking a risk and expecting God to work, not knowing what that might ever mean. Some of you have already done it. Last week, you turned in your stewardship envelopes, taking the next step. And you know, there may be some of you saying, "I'm doing this and I don't even know why, or I'm not even sure if this is what I should be doing," but you're stepping out. I hope others do too, but you know, we have to take it a step farther and be able to value the gift that we have, this vineyard in which we find ourselves, and be ready to answer that call of the owner, of Jesus, to go out and work in the vineyard. Valuing this place and investing what it is that we have, who it is that we are, in the mission of Jesus and His church. Since I heard that expression, these words have been echoing in my head all week. Religious people have preferences. Missionaries have stories. And it's really true. If only we let go and invest ourselves into the story of Jesus Christ, imagine how many more stories we're going to be able to tell. Amen.